Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
I'm having mixed feelings this morning. Praise the Lord. Father, be lifted in today's service. Be lifted. None of me, all of you. Come at the foot of the cross this morning. I subject myself to your will. Speak through me. Move through me. Flow through me. Be glorified in me. Be bigger in me this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I titled the message I'm bringing to us, It's Time for Harvest. It's time for harvest. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. We're going to read verse 1 and verse 11. The Bible says, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven. Verse 11. It says, he had made everything. He had made everything beautiful when? In his time. In his time. Not in your time. In his time. Also, he has set the world in their hearts so that no man can find out the work that God make it from the beginning to the end. It's time for harvest. It's time for harvest. The Bible says, to everything there is a season. And what? A time to every purpose under heaven. There is a dimension of grace and beauty that is attached to every season. Everything is not just beautiful at every time. Everything is beautiful in his time. In his time. In his time. Listen to me. Everything is not beautiful at every time. Everything is beautiful when? In his time. So if we are talking about his time, we have to look at what are the characteristics and the features of his time. What does it look like? What happens in this particular situation? Why exactly is there an emphasis on his time? Anything that is outside God's timing is usually not attractive. So the Bible says, he has made everything, what? Beautiful, attractive. He adds color to it when? In his time. We can look at nature and look at the things around us and we give name to it based on the time that they appear or the time that they are being unveiled. For example, you look at a baby who is born at 7 months and you look at a baby who is born at 9 months, it's a different name. The one born at 7 months, you say it's premature. So timing dictates naming. The Bible says he maketh all things beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Whether it's a marriage, whether it's a job, whether it's a business. He says he makes all things beautiful when in his time. So I need you to look at your life or look at any situation that has not been unpleasant in the recent times and says, God is making my life beautiful. God is adding color to my life. God is adding beauty to it. Someone once said that someone's opportunity to mock you is God's opportunity to make you. Are you listening to me this morning? When someone has the opportunity to mock you, it's another opportunity for God to what? To make you. So it's not about whether you got there early or you got there late. It happens when? In his time. In his time. In his time. So listen to me. Someone For someone here, God is cooking up something. God is cooking up something. God is cooking up something. It might not look as if it's beautiful now, but God is cooking up something. Time qualifies the name that is given to a thing. Time does what? Qualifies the name that is given to a thing. So you pluck a mango from a mango tree and it is not ripe. So they call the mango unripe. It is full of acid. So it can distort your system if you decide to take it. So timing dictates the naming. So you see a lot of people, you ask them, why is it that you had this particular group of friends, all of you started together, but it seems as if this person has gone ahead of you. Most times, the best way you can explain that is time. It's time. My time is not your time. Listen to me. My timing is not your time. The Bible says it maketh all things beautiful in his time. So the best way we can appreciate time is where we are in his time. Hallelujah. A doctor cannot be called a doctor, or rather be given the license of a doctor, until he has fulfilled the time. You won't allow that doctor to treat you. Why? He has not fulfilled the time. You won't allow a pilot who has not fulfilled the time of his license to fly you, whether he even still is in a pilot school. You wouldn't. So he makes everything beautiful in his time. You know, for a lot of us guys, we go to the barber salon. And I saw a post recently. He said there is no one that faces rejection the most than an apprentice, a barber apprentice. Hairdresser, you can still manage. But the guy, the barber apprentice. So they tell him to test with children because that one you can still turn it to skudu. But if you want to barb this kind of my haircut, or pastor's haircut, no, you cannot be an apprentice. So you can see the beauty that comes out with that. You can see what qualifies the expression that is given to that. Why? Because a time, as a process, has been undergone. I want to look at some symbolic scriptures that talks about timing. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 1. The Bible says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race, please follow me this morning. This scripture is usually very familiar to us, but I'm bringing out something this morning. It says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happened to them all. This might look like a familiar scripture, but Solomon was trying to say something. He was looking at different classes of people. He says, I have seen that the person who wins the race is not just because he was the fastest. He gave the summarization of it, time and chance. Are you listening to me? He said the person who won in the battle, it wasn't because he was the strongest, but what happened? Time and chance. The man who was the most skillful, he did not receive favor because he was the most skillful, but time and chance. Are you listening to me? It says, but riches to men of understanding. Why did the man of understanding have riches? Time and chance. So what was Solomon trying to tell us? Because there were other people who were better than the guy who won the race. Are you listening to me? There were other people who were stronger than the man who won the battle. But he says time and chance. This symbolic scripture, Ecclesiastes 9:11, I will call it preparation time. You can tag this scripture as preparation time. When Solomon decided to qualify all the characteristics of people he was talking about, and he made a summary and made a conclusion and said time and chance happened to them all, he was trying to say something beyond what you are saying. So what do you do in time? Is someone listening to me? What do you do in time? Time gives you the space to prepare. When he says time and chance, when you have the opportunity, you have the space, you have the time, what you need to do with it is preparation. But it's not just enough to prepare. You can be prepared and never have any opportunity. So he now puts another clause. He said chance. You must not just be prepared. You must be able to have many opportunities that comes in your favor and seize them. So time and chance, when I have the time, I prepare. But when the opportunity comes, I take it. I seize it. So he said the man who was the fastest, the reason why he won the race was because in the time when he was preparing for the competition, in the time before the competition came, he was preparing. And when the competition came, he did not give any excuse that I can't go out today. It's too cold. He went ahead and seized the opportunity. Is somebody getting me this morning? So Ecclesiastes 9:11 is symbolic of a time of preparation. A preparatory time. The man of understanding who had riches, he prepared adequately. So the Bible will talk about the men of Issachar. In 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32, it says they had the understanding of time.
Hallelujah.
And it says they knew what Israel ought to do. And the Bible now says their brethren were at their command. So everyone who wanted to take a step, anytime Israel wanted to go to war, if they had not heard from Issachar on the strategy, they didn't go. Why? Because they knew how to step in at the perfect time. So peradventure, at that day when Jericho was to be captured, it was the men of Issachar that would say, listen. We cannot decide to go on our own terms. The Bible says God has told us that we must march around 7 times. Another symbolic scripture on timing, John chapter 5. This was our anchor scripture for last year's month of prayer. John chapter 5. And I want you to see something here. The Bible says, and there was a feast of Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. It says, now there's at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. It says, in this lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. It says, now listen. It says, for an angel went down at a certain season. An angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Now look at this. It says, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity for 38 years. How come? Is it that the Bible did not say the angel came once again? It says at a certain season. So within that particular year, there were several seasons when the angel came and troubled the water. How come this man was there for 38 years? So you look at this and say, wasted time. For 38 years, he was looking to just one place. He was looking to just one well, one stream to make meaning of his life, to move forward, to advance to the next level. but it was all a futile effort. When you begin to look at Western time, nothing makes difference in time. Time is moving, but you are at a standstill. Time is moving, but you are regressing. The man was there for 38 years. Peradventure, he was always even at the front. But the Bible says, whosoever first steps in. So it did not matter if he was at the front. It was whosoever. Whether the person hopped, whether the person jumped, whether the person flew. The Bible says that was the person who was made whole. So you look at it and say, how come in 38 years at different seasons, this man couldn't have any opportunity? So we see that he was prepared. He had the information of what to bring about his breakthrough, but there was no opportunity. So you now go back to what Solomon was talking about. Not only time, chance. There's someone here with me this morning. Time was moving, but the man was in standstill. He couldn't make meaning of anything. Wasted time. Another scripture. Joel chapter 2, verse 25. We are going to make meaning of this in a short while. Joel chapter 2, verse 25. It's a common scripture, but he also talks about timing. And he looks at timing from another perspective. The Bible says, and I will restore to you. I will restore to you the years, talking about time, that the locusts had eaten, that the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army, which I sent among you, I will restore. So something had been lost and had needed restoration. Something had been spoiled and needed restoration. Something had been dead and needed restoration. And it was not just for a day. It was not just for hours. The Bible says yes. So this talks about restoration time. So peradventure, you had a wasted time. Peradventure, in the time when you could prepare, you were not opportune to prepare. You didn't have the available information at your disposal. Then the Bible says, forget about it. Restoration time. Are you listening to me this morning? It says, and I will restore to you the years that the locusts had eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army, which I sent amongst you. Peradventure, he looked as if some guy came around at a particular time, and because you were not yet wise and matured enough, you disdained him. But now time has gone, and you're saying, God, give me another chance. So God now says, you know what? It seems as if that time was the best time, but now is another ripe time. I will now restore. Listen to me. God always makes allocation for restoration. So I don't care whether you've wasted time. Are you listening to me? I don't care whether you were not prepared enough. Today is restoration. Another symbolic scripture on timing. And I will climax here a bit. Psalm 102, verse 13. Hallelujah. The Bible says, thou shall arise and have mercy upon Zion. Now look at it. It now talks about the time. It says, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time has come. Thou shall arise. Thou shall arise. Now is no more about what I've done or what I did not do. Thou shall arise. Thou shall arise. It says, and have mercy upon Zion. For the time to favor. This talks about favorable time. It says, yea, the set time has come. Yea, the kairos time. Yea, the opportune moment. So, whether you have wasted it, whether you didn't have the information or you didn't have the opportunity to prepare, whether it seems restoration came and you are too busy looking for something else, the Bible now says there's an injury time. It calls it a favorable time. Because now, it's not about what you will do or what you did not do. Like the man at the pool of Bethesda, he had been there for 38 years. Listen to me. Let's go back to that scripture. John chapter 5. The Bible says, verse 4, for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. He says, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, thou shalt arise. Jesus looks on your condition. Jesus looks on your situation. And the Bible says, thou shalt arise. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The good thing about a favorable time, the good thing about a kairos time, is that whatever you had lost is not only returned. Everything is made whole. So Jesus did not ask him, will you like to stand up and walk? Jesus says, will thou be made whole? Peradventure, by your coming to sit here for 38 years, you lost your business. Peradventure, by coming to sit here for 38 years, you lost your marriage. Peradventure, by coming to sit here for 38 years, everybody forsaked you. He asked him, will thou be made whole? That talks about the set time. Set time. Kairos time. When God looks on you. When God looks on your situation. When God looks on your pain. God looks on your suffering. God looks on your oppression. God looks on your mistakes. And he says, it's time. Are you listening to me? So he's called, it's time for harvest. When God himself arises. Says you've been trying to do it by yourself, but this time I will arise. At this particular time, which is the favorable and the kairos time, everything just aligns for you. Everything just aligns for you. You tried to get married 4 years ago, but you were putting all your energy trying to make the relationship work. But right now, God says it is kairos. God says it is a favorable time. Everything just aligns. You try to get a job. You try to write that professional exam. But it seems as if the more you are trying to write it, you got to the exam hall and you are failing. You try switching jobs. You start switching careers. But God now says, this time around, you would not just try. I myself will arise. Because why? The set time. The favorable time. The God opportune time. This time around, I step in. Everything just aligns. God is personally working. Natural laws are suspended. It can also be tagged the appointed time. So it seems as if 5 minutes before, nobody knew about you. But 5 minutes after, the world is asking, who is so, 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 and so? Why? The appointed time. Hallelujah. Timing is never outside the principle of mercy. Listen to me. The Bible says in Psalm 102 verse 13, thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion. for the time to favor. Why was he bringing mercy into time? Timing is not outside the jurisdiction of mercy. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion. So Lord, it seems as if I've wasted time, but your mercy. Lord, it seems as if I was not prepared enough, but Lord, your mercy. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion. For the time to favor us come, yea, the set time. Listen to me, it's not outside the quality, it's not usually outside your qualification. It has no respect of your background. The Bible says in Romans chapter 9, verse 16, it is not to him that does willeth, nor to him that runneth, but to God that does what? Showeth mercy. Then in verse 15 of that same scripture, it says, I will have mercy on him, I will have mercy on. I will have compassion on him, I will have compassion on. So that's God appointed time. That favorable time, that appointed time is usually not outside the allocation of God's mercy. Usually not outside. The Bible says, promotion. Comment not from the east, from the west, from the south, but from where? From above. Then he now says in the next verse, he says, but God is the judge. Are you listening to me? Not your boss at work. He says, but God is what? The judge. That's Psalm 75, I think verse 6 and 7. He says, promotion cometh neither from the east, from the west, or from the south. But from where? From above. He now goes to the next verse and says, but God is who? The judge. He does what? He putteth down one and lifteth up another. There is always an allocation of God's mercy when it's a favorable time for you. There's always. Listen to me, the world can call it cheating, but God calls it favor. Very quickly, let's look at the enemies of harvest time. The enemies of time of harvest. Number one is association. Proverbs 13, verse 20. The Bible says, he who walks with the wise shall be wise. It says, but a companion of fools shall be what? Shall be destroyed. Association. Association. He who walks with the wise shall be wise. But a companion of fools, people fooling themselves around. Shall be what? Shall be destroyed. See, it amazes me to know that the sharp guys that were on campus and that were really, really sharp, they knew when to go into the midst of the ones that were sharp but were bad guys. They knew when to drop their pride and go to the people who knew it in class. So, if you are like some people, Pastor Gbenga falls in that category. If you are a student in class, Pastor Gbenga is not someone you should work with. Especially if you know the way you read and assimilate. Pastor Gbenga can be playing with you. Because I've seen him prepare for exams. And he didn't look as if he was preparing. And he came out and he says he was the best graduating student in his set. And if I have this kind of grace. So you know some certain people like that. They will play from the beginning of the semester to the end of the semester. But on that exam day, before you guys get into the exam hall, they will come and pick everybody's brain. Then they did not read at all, but they gathered from everybody. Or they will come to you some nights before the exam, and they will start to tell you that you should give them some tutorial. Then at the end of the day, you even taught them, they pass better than you. The Bible says, he who walks with the wise shall be what? Wise. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Sorry, sir. I should start rounding up. Association is very powerful. In John chapter 5, verse 7, when Jesus asked the man, without being made whole, he says, I have no man. That's why I've been here for 38 years. I have no man. I have no man. Association. So yes, it looks as if he was always at the right place. But he needed someone who could just tip him over. Who could just put a word in for him. For nobody. So, a companion of fools. Listen to me. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loveth at all times. But a brother is born for what? Adversity. A brother is not just enough to have people who you are smiling and gesticulating with. You must have people who you can call brothers. They are the one who will say, let's throw in the sickle. Because why? It's time for harvest. I will go outside my comfort zone for you. Because why? It's time for your harvest. A brother is born for adversity. Adversity there doesn't just mean a time of trouble. It can be a time of challenge. Stop despising the people around you who can look you in the face and tell you the truth. Who can look you in the face and tell you you are wrong. Who can look you in the face and tell you, go and apologize to that person. Go and write that exam. A brother is born for what? Adversity. You need to have people in your life who you can look back and say, ah, thank God I listened to you. Thank God I listened. So stop walking in the companion of fools. Enemies of harvest time. Number two, excuses. Excuses. So Pastor Gbenga will say, those who make excuses, they make nothing. The only thing they are good at, the only castles they know how to build, the only monuments they know how to build are excuses. Those who make excuses do what? Makes nothing. Ecclesiastes 11 verse 4. He says, he who regarded the cloud. Look at it. 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 He who regards the cloud as a reason of excuse, he shall not reap. He that observeth the wind will not what? So. There's rain this morning. That's why I couldn't come to church. Whereas, if you were to go to your place of work, you will go. Embassy. You will go. He who observes the wind, he will not what? So. He who regards the cloud. Listen to me, it's time for harvest. Stop making your excuses. January to September, you have persuaded yourself on every reason why you couldn't take that step. Now is the time for harvest. Do not make excuses any longer. Excuses will exclude you from greatness. Excuses will do what? Will exclude you from greatness. Peradventure, the man was there for 38 years because he looked as if he made an excuse for himself and convinced himself that,
Angel no fit come today. So make I just day back, make I chill. Or no wala, no need go stand for pool today. This kind season, angel no they come. That's how some people actually miss their destiny helpers. The day they invited you for an event and you were supposed to be there, you just say, oh, my clothes are rumpled. It was Pastor Ayo that told us about a particular man here who they were going for an occasion in Jagaban's house, and it looked as if everybody was wearing knitting. But the only thing he had to wear was a collar neck shirt and a trousers. So he got there, and Baba himself started saying, ah, this is the shirt I've been telling you about. And he asked the guy, can you make this shirt? You know, at those times, you cannot say no. Even if you don't know how to make shirts. Carpenter, we don't know in work. Listen to me. That's not the time to say my profession is carpenter. I now make shirts. I now what? I now make shirts. It's not the Bible that says this one. But it says success is when preparation meets opportunity. So it seems as if the guy at that day, something just stole him. Where this, you want to go for those kinds of vocations. Baba, you want to, even myself, I won't wear suit, but I wear something like what Pastor Dave is wearing. And the most expensive or the most quality of all of them. But something just say, wear collar neck and trousers. And he got there. And Baba said, I need some copies of this. And you know, that one is not two, it's not ten, it's thousands. Then Pastor Ayona said, the man said, can you off the shirt? Baba was asking him, can you off? I don't want to call the name because I know some of us are beefing it. So he said, can you off the shirt? He said, no. Can you bring it back tomorrow? Don't off it. Can you bring it back tomorrow for us? Let's see the sample. As he was going, they asked him, do you have a car? Give him a car. Sir, I think that was the story. Stop making excuses. Enemies of harvest time. Laziness. Proverbs 18, verse 9. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 9. The Bible says, he also that is slothful in his work is a brother to him that is a great waster. So lazy people are wasters. They waste things. They waste time. So peradventure, that man at the pool of Bethesda was a lazy man. Because listen to me. We all usually have opportunities. But most of us are too lazy to take advantage of those opportunities. Just someone telling you, come tomorrow and see me by 6 a.m. Ah, it's too early. Let me go ahead. Another enemy of harvest time is lack of preparation. And we've talked about this in Ecclesiastes 9:11. Another enemy of harvest time is inadequate prayer. And please, please, and please, note I said inadequate prayer. I did not say lack of prayer. Inadequate prayer. The Bible says in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, men ought always to pray and what? And not to faint. The Bible says in Proverbs 24, verse 10, I'm going somewhere. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Then the Bible says in Proverbs 24, verse 10, if thou faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. So when you do not When there is inadequate prayer, it is as a result of fainting. Your prayer is not adequate when you get out of the prayer closet and it seems as if, I'm still fainting. I'm still in doubt. You can't go into harvest that way. You can't be sure if you have the harvest that way. Pastor Benga says, the moment when the arrow enters your chest, that's not the moment you start to pray. Lack of inadequate prayer. So you left the prayer closet and you took an issue there and you are left there and it seems as if all hell is still breaking loose. The prayer is not yet inadequate. Because why? You are fainting. So men ought always. So that always there, the way you will classify it or you will qualify it as being enough is when you are not fainting. Or when your strength is not small. Are you listening to me? Let me go ahead. Enemies of harvest time, procrastination. Procrastination. The Bible says those who observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Those who observe lying vanities, they forsake their own mercy. I'm not properly dressed too. I can't go to this place today. So you say because you are not properly dressed or because NEPA decided not to bring light today. Whereas we saw the story of a man who it didn't seem as if he was dressed for the occasion. He stepped into an opportunity. Procrastination. Another enemy of harvest time is carelessness. Some people are too careless with their destiny. Some people are too what? Careless with their destiny. Jacob got to Bethel and the Bible says he slept in that place and he woke up in the morning. He said, God was here. Oh, I did not know. But listen to me. That being careless of the presence of God, he wasted 20 years of his life. Are you listening to me? That carelessness, he wasted 20 years. So after wasting 20 years, he got back and said, this time around, it is I die or you die. I will wrestle. I will not allow you to go. It was the same place, but this time I will not be careless. I will take my destiny in my own hands. I will not just watch it slip off my hands. Carelessness. Elisha was not careless about his destiny. On the day Elijah was about to be taken away, the sons of the prophet were mocking him. Your master is going to be taken away today. He said, don't worry. I will follow you from Gilgal or to Jordan. Why? A double portion is what I want. Don't be careless about it. Don't be careless. Don't be negligent. Another enemy of harvest time is murmuring and complaining. Complaining and murmuring is a sin. The Bible says they murmured in the desert. They asked God if he could furnish a table in the wilderness. Murmuring, complaining. He limits, he puts, he destroys, he wastes the harvest. Listen to me. One thing that cuts across with timing is mercy. So I don't know where you are at the time or at the season of your life. What you need today is mercy. The Bible says his mercy are new every morning. They are new every morning. They are new every morning. They are new every morning. It doesn't seem as if I got it right in my morning time. But today is another morning for me. I will get it right. Why? His mercies. They are what? They are new every morning. Today, I've come to tell you, in as seems as if you wasted time. In as seems as if you didn't prepare when it was your time. If it seems as if when restoration came, you are giving excuses. Today,
is a time of mercy. It is God's prerogative to give mercy. It is man's prerogative to give favor. The Bible says he gave mercy to Joseph, but favor came from man. I want you to lift your hands where you are and say, Father, this morning, let your mercy, let it be renewed among my life. Mercy to cover for my failures. Mercy to recover lost time. Mercy to procure favor. Mercy to walk into the right opportunities. Mercy to be in the right association. Let your mercy speak in my life. In Jesus' name. I bring a word to someone here this morning. And that word is from Amos chapter 9, verse 13. As I was preparing for this service today, God told me to give someone this word this morning. Please, can we bring it up? It says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall do what? Overtake the reaper, and the treader of graves, him that soweth seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. I need somebody to be rejoicing at this particular time. It says, the plowman. It seems as if you were late, but the Bible says the plowman shall do what? Overtake the reaper. The treader of grapes, it will overtake him that do what? That soweth seed. And the mountains shall drop sweet wine. Can you lift your hands this morning and say, Father, we thank you. Lord, we give you the praise. Lord, we honor you.